Open your King James Bible to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 4 for study number 23, please. This 15-minute Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 23-Heed Part 2. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom from above. I pray, God, you'd touch our mind, our heart, our tongue, our lips, and may we speak today for the glory of God. Make this interesting, God, today as we study the Word of God. Help it to whet our appetite for a desire for the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4, Paul says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." In our last study, which was study number 22, we looked at the word heed. We did not finish all that we wanted to say. So in this study, which is study 23, we will continue with our study into this word heed. We trust that this lesson will help you to become more interested in the study of the Word of God. In this day, it is hard to get people of God to love and get interested in the study of the Bible. The devil has turned the attention of the people of God to other things that seem to be more important to them. We will pick up where we left off in our last study. I mentioned in our last study that the word heed is mentioned 80 times in the Bible. We're looking at some rather interesting verses today that the Apostle Paul has given in his writings that are of great importance to us as a Christian and that can be a benefit and a furtherance of the gospel and the upbuilding of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives us a command to heed that we do not become a stumbling block and hurt some who are weak in the faith. We will read this again in this lesson. We read it in the closing of our last lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. "But take heed," he said, "lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?" We, I want you to know today, are warned here in this scripture to take heed and not become a stumbling block to them who are weak in the faith. The young convert who does not know the basic fundamentals of the Word of God, and those who have not grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can be hurt very easily. Paul is admonishing us that we are to be careful of how we conduct ourselves in front of them, so that we will not offend them. This is an important teaching that is not taught much in our churches in our modern day. This is a teaching also that is very needful and should be a standard for teaching from every pulpit in the land. Remember, the young convert does not know the basic fundamentals of the faith. He's young, he's tender, he's not anchored or settled in the Word of God yet. He's a babe in Christ and needs to be taught what the Bible teaches. He don't know anything much at all. He's at a critical point in his Christian life, too, as well. He can be swayed to think anything he sees is a Christian, as a Christian, or watch a Christian do, he thinks going to be okay. So we have to watch what we do. That is why it's important to be careful and attentive of our attitude and our example in the public. We need to be very careful. Our habits, our lifestyles, and even our tempers can have a bearing upon the weak Christian. Likewise, there are many that may, you know, be saved or been saved for years and years, but have not grown in the grace of God because they have not been taught or because they have not been concerned about their Christian influence in the world. They may have been a regular church member and faithful at the church they've attended, never missed a service and so on and so forth. But they may have never been taught anything from the pulpit. The pastor of the church that they go to may not be well-versed in the Bible. He may not be a well-versed man of God and has not taught them what they ever need to know. these are easily persuaded, like the young Christian. And so we have to be careful in front of them as well. It's important to make sure we're walking as we should before all men, day in and day out. Whatever the case, we're to be concerned that we do not become a stumbling block and lead people in the wrong direction. Paul's given us that charge here. Every child of God is to guard his or her testimony. If a young Christian sees a seasoned Christian where he should not be, saying something he should not be saying, dressing like he should not dress, or anything else that is not becoming of a dedicated child of God, then that person can cause the weak Christian to stumble and fall. In that case, then we would become a stumbling block, if it was us, to the young convert and the weak Christian, and we'll have to all give an account of that at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want you to think of this. Not only may we cause the young Christian to stumble, but we will bring reproach upon the Word of God as well. As a Christian, we should live as faultless and blameless as we possibly can in order to never bring reproach upon the Lord Jesus Christ or upon His church. Now, Paul gives us another command to take heed about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. He says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed." There's that word again. "Take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, we're commanded to take heed and not be lifted up in pride to think that we're more than what we really are. Paul used this word heed very often in his writings. He stresses it very often. In this scripture, Paul is advising and instructing that God is able to keep us from sinning and can give us the strength and power to escape the temptations that the devil will put in front of us. Thank God. God will make a way to escape every trial and every temptation that Lucifer can throw in front of us. God can and will intervene and deliver us from the hand of Satan. Praise God. Give Him praise and glory. I say hallelujah. The child of God, as a Christian, needs to live the Christian life as every day is his last one, and he needs to live it a 24/7 responsibility. Amen. Now, many times in my Christian life, I have thought I had gone as far as I could go, and I'd almost reached the end, and I almost give in to the testing of the trial that the devil had placed before me. But with much prayer and looking to and keeping my eyes on the Lord Jesus, I've come out of it with victory because of the Lord. And when He delivered me with His mighty hand, I had that peace in my heart. He did not allow Satan to put too much on me, but He made a way of escape just like He promised that He would. Now, Paul warns us to take heed not to devour one another. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, he said, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed," there's that word again, "take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Paul here tells us to take heed concerning our dealings with others in the church. We must keep self crucified and not let the flesh lead us or take control. The flesh is weak, and it'll devour and hurt those around us. It'll do it every time and all the time. We're to love the brethren and treat them as brothers and sisters in Christ. We should not be at odds with those around us, in or out of the church, as far as that's concerned. A church in harmony and in unity is used greatly by the Lord God Almighty. It is hard to find a church in which the members are like families who love and cherish each other. Actually, it's hard to find that kind of family in our day, as it is today with the way they raise our children and the way the new ways of raising them. Too much confusion and bickering is going on in the church in these days. We seem to have our hearts in the wrong places. and our minds are preoccupied with the cares of life, that we can't get along with each other anymore. It's an ideal thing to have a church that's like a family, and it's like a family unit in harmony where everyone is concerned about each other and not selfish at the same time to their own desires. God has allowed me to pastor such a church as that in the last several years. In the public, I hear church members taking and talking about and criticizing each other all the time. The world is on its way to hell, and if there has ever been a time we need to be in complete harmony to help win the lost to Christ, it is right now. A fighting, bickering, murmuring, and griping church can't further the gospel as it should be. Christian friend, are you in harmony with all the church members you go to church with? Do you have an ought or a problem with any that you attend church with? Do you have some in the church who you feel are your enemies? If so, right now, bow your heart and ask God to touch them and to bless them and lay His hand upon them. God has told us to love and pray for our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44, God said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, for years I've said to people, this seems to be the hardest verse and one of the hardest positions in life that we have to take. Love your enemies and pray for them who despitefully use you. Now, the Paul goes on to tell us and give us another warning. He says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, he's going to tell us here to take heed lest we let anything slip, that which we've heard. This is what he says in Hebrews 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Now, the word earnest here means serious or intense. We're to give some serious heed or some serious concern to the things which we have heard and make sure we don't let them slip or slide from us. This has to do with our stand in the Lord. We're told over and over again in the Word of God to hold to and keep the teachings of the Bible so that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Word of God is our only source of strength, and it's our only hope in a wicked world in which we live. It's the only hope also for the lost and the dying, and it's also the only hope for this world that's without God as well. Praise be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Praise be unto God and His holy name. Now, Paul gives us another warning to take heed of in departing from God in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Notice in this verse, Paul is speaking to the brethren, which are the saints of God, not unbelievers. He warns that there is a strong possibility that we can allow the spirit of an evil heart of unbelief to persuade us to walk away from or even depart from serving God. I have met many in my days of ministry who have done exactly that. They've allowed the devil to put division in their hearts between the church folks and the Lord. Sometimes I've seen them fall out with the preacher or the deacons and quit coming to church altogether. They may have not been anchored in the faith and maybe have let something turn them from the Lord. They blame somebody else in the church, but actually it's in their own heart, and it is their own heart that caused them to separate and depart from the Lord. Paul gives us another one, and I'll give them for the last one. He's given us another bit of information concerning this latter times and heeden. 1 Timothy 4:1 said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed," you see, "to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." In this scripture, Paul did not say some might depart or some may depart, but some shall depart from the faith. This is predicting a day of apostasy in which many will turn from the faith and then give heed to seducing spirits and also to the doctrines of devils. We're seeing this take place before our very eyes as we speak. Paul is saying that these seducing spirits will persuade, they'll court, they'll seduce, and they'll draw many away from the truth and the doctrines that they've been taught. Paul also gives us the instigator of this seduction. It's the devil and his little cohorts. Now, in our next lesson, we will look at the word fables. If this lesson has been a help to you, you can call us and let us know that. Our cell phone number is 706-499-4963, or you can also email us at kjv1611@windstream.net. God bless you. Amen and amen.